The well-known pasuk in Mishlei, Sheker Achein, the Hevel Hayofi, Isha, Yiras Hashem, Hi Tisalal, is a pasuk in which, of course, we're all familiar, but I think we would agree that in the simple understanding, there seems to be a contrast that on the one hand, the first two parts of the pasuk are completely different and unrelated almost from the third. That is to say, the opening of the pasuk seems to say that both Chein and Yofi, which are two different types or two different ways of saying beauty, a certain kind of a charm and a certain kind of physical beauty. Sheker Achein, that kind of charm or attraction is really dishonest, it's not real. Similarly with Yofi, that physical beauty, it's Hevel, it's really nothingness. But rather, what should we be looking for? What should we admire in a woman? Isha, Iras Hashem Hitisalal, a woman who's genuinely righteous, that's the one who deserves praise, not the one who has a certain charm or allure, not the one who has physical beauty, but rather, pivot, the one who is righteous. Interestingly, the Gemara actually has a deeper and different and a very radical understanding of this pasuk. The Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin on Daf Chaf Amar Aleph tells us that all three of these phrases are alluding to people who are, what we would think on the surface, great biblical heroes. And in fact, the Gemara understands that the first two phrases are referring to heroes who are far more well-known and far probably greater, more respected than the third one. And yet, all three of them are describing something similar, and yet the superiority, of the third. But which I mean to say as follows. The Gemara tells us that Sheker Hachein refers to Yosef in his challenge of overcoming the temptation of Eshes Potiphar. That Chein somehow refers to his success at not succumbing, and yet Sheker, it wasn't really true. It wasn't as successful as we might have thought. Hevel Hayofi, that refers to Boaz, who, as the Megillah tells us, spent an entire night sleeping next to Rus. And we are taught that nothing inappropriate happened. Seems like Boaz was successful in overcoming what would have been a very natural temptation. And yet, says the Gemara, yet again, Hevel Hayofi, perhaps he was successful, but like Hevel, like wind, like nothingness, it was fleeting. It wouldn't have lasted. But rather, Isha Yiras Hashem Hi Tishalal. But rather, when it comes to the third category, that, says the Gemara, is referring to Palti ben Laish. He was the one who was, of course, the husband of Michal, Shaul's daughter, and nevertheless, he knew that really, even though Shaul wanted him to be married to him, really, 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 she was married to David. And therefore, for 20 years, they lived as married husband and wife, and he never touched her. He never did anything. And that incredible accomplishment is being alluded to in the third half of the pasuk. Isha Yiras Hashem Hi Tisalal. That refers to Palti. So unlike the more well-known and highly acclaimed Yosef and Boaz, who we are dinging a little bit, we're saying that their successes weren't so great, Palti is getting a much greater compliment. All three of these biblical personalities seemed to successfully overcome a sensual and a sexual temptation, and yet we are contrasting the first two with the third. I give you this uncharacteristically kind of long introduction because it's based on all of this Gemara that Rav Tzadok wants to explain on a deeper level and give us what he thinks is the message of this seemingly enigmatic Gemara. I mean, it's a very fascinating interpretation of the Pasuk. I assume that if you have never heard of this Gemara, this is the last thing anyone is thinking of when they sing Eshes Chayil every Friday night at the Shabbos table. I am sure not. And yet, it's a fascinating Gemara, but it's totally enigmatic. What is going on here? What is exactly happening? So Rav Tzadok explains as follows. What's the message we should take from this Gemara, from this Pasuk? Kol hishtadlus ha'odam b'shviras ha'yetzer b'taivas nikra chein v'yofi levad shu sheker v'hevel she'enu kayam la'ad. We have to learn from this, says Rav Tzadok, that when a person is striving to overcome their Yetzer Hara, and specifically the Yetzer Hara for illicit sexual pleasure, that any efforts that the person puts in him or herself are ultimately going to be merely Sheker and Hevel. Sheker in the sense that even when we think we're succeeding, we're really disingenuous, it's not a full success. And Hevel, even if we have a full success, a true success, but it will be fleeting. It's not going to be permanent. Eno kiyum lad. And why not? Ki hayetzer miskaber b'chol yom, v'ulai machar lo yinatzkenu. Because you have to realize that we delude ourselves into thinking that we were successful. Sometimes we're not. Sheker achein. And even if we actually were successful, but the yetzer hara is relentless, especially in this area of sexuality. And maybe we were successful today, but it's hevel hayofi. You can never assume that you're going to be successful tomorrow. Success is fleeting. Today does not guarantee tomorrow. So if that's the case, it sounds very defeatist. We have no hope. Rather, says Rav Tzadok, Rak ha'ikar levakesh mi'Hashem yizbarach shiyeh be'ozro. Shezehu muvtach neman ki goalo chai. Rather, yes, a person has to put in their hishtadlus, they have to put in their effort, as it were, for sure. But you have to realize that your own efforts in this area specifically are actually not going to be enough. Sheker achein, hevel hayofi. But rather, isha yiras Hashem hitisalal. In this area, the only way to actually be successful is yiras shamayim, which Rav Tzadok understands in this context as basically davening. We daven for all sorts of things. We daven for money, we daven for health, we daven for success of our children, all sorts of things. You could say almost physical things. But we can also daven for spiritual things. We can daven that we should be spiritually successful. And a yiras shamayim in this case is expressed by davening. Davening, begging Hashem, pleading with Hashem, praying to Hashem, we be successful in this challenging area. This is the lesson, says Rav Tzadok, we should learn from the Gemara and Sanhedrin. Sheker achein za Yosef. And why is Yosef considered Sheker achein? So he quotes a second Gemara in Masech Sota, which says somewhat shockingly and graphically, this is certainly not something that they teach the elementary school children, that's for sure, that even though the pasuk seems to be straightforward, that Yosef overcome the temptation with Potiphar, nevertheless, says the Gemara, his temptation was far greater than it would seem, to the point that on some level, he even got some minute amount, but a real and actual amount of sexual gratification, even from how close he came to violating. He didn't fully violate. He did overcome, but not without, it wasn't 100% success. There was some kind of sexual gratification that Yosef got, even if it was minute, and therefore Sheker Achein, it wasn't as fully 100% successful as it might seem at first on the outside. Continues the Gemara, that Hevel Hayofi referred to Boaz. That is to say, that even though he spent the entire night with Rus, and it's true, they were not sexually intimate with each other, he did overcome that temptation, but also, says the Gemara, he was excited, not only tempted, but actually physically had signs of excitement from that evening. He didn't act on his excitement, but he was, Hayila Taiva V'yetzer, Rakit Ametz Negdo. So that one night, he was able to overcome it. L'kach Raksha Achas. That one night, he was able to overcome it. But he was actually excited and so tempted that if there had been another night, if it had lasted any longer, he might have actually failed. So yes, he was truly fully successful, even more than Yosef. But it was Hevel Hayofi. He wouldn't have gotten any further than he did. But rather, the pasuk continues in the Gemara's interpretation, Isha Yiras Hashem Hi Tisalal. That is to say, that refers, as we mentioned, to Palti. As the Pasuk in Shmuel Bet says, he was Haloch Ubacha al Mitzvah de Azla Minei. Now, I skipped really, I'm reading Rav Tzadok, I didn't skip anything in Rav Tzadok, but really we should take a step back before I read that last piece of Rav Tzadok and take a step back and understand the Gemara explains what made Palti so great. So first of all, it wasn't one night or one time or even a few times like with Yosef and Eishes Potiphar. If I recall, I believe it was 20 years. And more than that, says the Gemara, why was he called Palti? Because he was Paltu min ha'avera, from Paltiel, that he, so to speak, was expelled. He totally removed himself, totally expelled, was totally successful in removing Avera from him. And therefore, even though Michal was David's wife, and David had to run away from Shaul, and Shaul gave her as a wife to Palti, he was absolutely careful and righteous and pure. He realized that she was truly a married woman, and therefore what did he do, being forced to live with her and share a bedroom for 20 years? Na'atz charav beino levena. He put a sword right in the middle of the bed. Amar, and he said, kol osek b'davar zeh yedaker b'cherav zeh. As if to make a statement, anyone who will, in fact, so to speak, go to the other side of the bed, anyone who will act on the temptation that's right in front of them, right presented in this bedroom, should be pierced by this very sword. It was a very, very dramatic action and a very physical and tangible statement and reminder to him not to overstep his bounds and to remember that even though he was sharing a bedroom for 20 years with this woman, she was not his wife and he cannot do anything. When the story finally ends well and David comes back and she, Michal, ends up going back to David as his wife, so now we go back to what Tzadok refers to, where the Navi himself says, Halochu Bacha, he was crying. And you might have thought he's crying because he's losing the princess. He's not married to her, to the queen. He's not married to this beautiful woman anymore. But says Chazal, no, not at all. He never acted on that. Why was he crying? Al ha-mitzvah de'azlamineh, because he no longer had the opportunity to fulfill this incredible spiritual accomplishment. I mean, he was a tzaddik night after night, overcoming his temptation. It was a mitzvah that he accomplished every single night. And now that she was going back to David and leaving his house, she wouldn't be fulfilling this mitzvah anymore. In that sense, he regretted the fact that she was leaving because he was losing an opportunity for success. So this, Rav Tzadok says, is the final, so to speak, bow on top, the final PS to the Gemara. We see here again another subtle indication of the superiority of Boaz as he understands it. Because Palti was so successful, 100% successful, unlike Yosef, and would have been permanently successful, unlike Boaz, that he could regret not having the opportunity to continue his success and to get more and more reward and more accomplishment. Masha'en ken Yosef u Boaz, vadeha yurotzim Yosef shlo yu ba'osan isayon, kyunikra paltiel shal paltu et nevera zachal siyata shmaya v'lo mi hishtaduso. Yosef and Boaz, trust me, they were happy to never have that temptation again. He never wanted to see Eshes Potiphar again, he ran away, and of course when it came to Rus, he marries her, so everything ended up working out nicely for them. The only one of the three that actually ends nicely, they get married. But in the moment when the respective women were prohibited to them, they had their partial successes, and they certainly did not want to have a repetition of that nisayon. As opposed to Palti, who had a much longer and more difficult nisayon, and yet he was so successful that he almost regretted not having the opportunity to continue to be successful. So that in and of itself is yet another indication of why Palti is more superior than the other two. And that's why the other two, Yosef and Boaz, are the first half of the Pasuk, Sheker Achein, Hevel Ayofi. However, Palti, he is Isha Yiras Hashem Tisalal. He is the one who truly deserves praise. But again, the key lesson to take away, in Rav Tzadok's opinion, from this Gemara and from this Pasuk in Mishlei, is not only that Palti was more successful than Yosef and Boaz, fine. That's interesting, but not relevant. What the relevant and the instructive and the inspiring and lesson for us all, says Rav Tzadok, is Isha Yiras Hashem Tisalal. The only way to be perfectly and permanently successful is Yiras Shamayim. And in this context, Rav Tzadok is defining that as you need it to be, in a certain sense, a gift from Hashem. Siyata Rishmaya. A person has to throw themselves, so to speak, on the mercy of the court. Beg Hashem, say, listen, I need your help. Human beings were created with this very powerful sexual drive. You've given us a certain sexual ethic that we have to try to maintain. It's too hard to do on our own. We need your inspiration. We need your help. We'll put in our effort. But we know that that will be not a fully successful effort and not a permanently successful effort. To be permanent and fully successful, Yiras Hashem Hitasalal. Only if we have Hashem's help, the Siyata Deshmaya. Palti understood that, and he was Zocha Siyata Deshmaya, and therefore he was completely and permanently successful. Ad Kerikach, he was even disappointed when he lost the opportunity for further success. But anyone else who did incredible efforts, what Yosef did was incredible, what Boaz did was incredible. But because they were doing it all on their own with their own hishtadlus, something that in almost any other context we would think is admirable, and it was admirable in a large extent, but it would not have been completely successful had it not been, permanently successful, and it was not fully successful, because they were doing it all on their own, they did not have Siyata Deshmaya. And this is an area in which a person truly needs help. And I would just add that on some level, it seems like Rav Tzadok is assuming, human nature is pretty constant. We're created, and Hashem created us in such a way that just the way we've been created with the sexual drive makes it a very, very difficult challenge throughout our lives to follow the Torah's dictates. And certainly can add reasonably that in the modern and contemporary culture that we live, the over and hypersexual culture that we live, where it's anywhere and everywhere, it's even more difficult. And as many efforts as we put in, no one can truly insulate themselves from the immorality and the temptation of the current modern era and world and contemporary culture. Therefore, really, all of us, this is a very, in a certain sense, you could say a little bit depressing or a little bit defeatist. We can't do it on our own. We all especially in a modern era, we all want to feel like our success is in our own hands. And Rav Tzadok is teaching us an important lesson not only as a spiritual truth, but also a lesson in humility. In this area in particular, ultimate and permanent and complete success is actually not in our hands. We can do a lot, and we are responsible to do every bit of hishtadlus that we can. But ultimate success, and I'm adding now, especially in the hyper and over-sexualized culture that we live in, which we can't, no matter who we are, no matter where we live, we can't totally remove ourselves from, ultimate and complete success and lasting success will only come not only from our efforts, but if we pray and are blessed with a positive response, that our efforts are blessed with siyata d'shmaya, with divine grace. We need Hashem's help to be truly successful in this area.